Before this pandemic, I would talk to people and reach out and, you know, I would like to call to just ask how they're doing. And I was always pleasantly pleased, you know, to hear that, hey, I'm doing all right and everything is all good. How are you and your family? And so on and so forth. And unfortunately, because of this pandemic and the state that we find ourselves in, several weeks into this issue and which we're dealing with social distancing and having to, you know, remain in our homes, it seems as if the sentiment, you know, has changed slightly. You know, when I ask the same question, you know, now I get, well, I can't wait till things get better, or I don't know how much more of this I could take. And P, man, I'm trying to hold on, but it's, I've been laid off, and I'm not quite sure what my future holds. And man, we ain't got no toilet paper, and my kids are driving me crazy, and so on and so forth. And you fill in the blank. And the great thing about this situation is that when we conclude our conversations, we typically share the mutual sentiment that right now, all we're doing is just trying to hear from God with an understanding that God loves us. Now, likewise, today, when you ask me a question, the same question, you know, how are you doing? And I can tell you that at least since 1987, for those who know me, if you ever paid attention, or if you know me, my response is typically the same. You ask me the question, I'm going to tell you it's all good, or I'm just chilling. Now, it isn't that I have it all together. You know, I get discouraged too. But the one thing that I'm learning in this life is that we are not We cannot afford to allow our circumstances to dictate our happiness. Now, I know this isn't a task for everyone. You know, having to remain in our homes is quite challenging for those who are typically used to getting out. I know for me, people say, well, how are you holding up? And I kind of express and explain to them, you know, the time that I spent in the military afforded me an opportunity to kind of learn how to deal with situations such as these. You know, there are times, shout out to all of my military folk who been on deployment, but there are times when on these deployments, there is no going outside. There are times when I was on a ship, we couldn't even go up to the top side just to get fresh air because of the elements of the weather or because of other things that were unforeseen for us. And so I'm not trying to negate how anybody feels. I just think that this situation has caused us to alter our lives. And because of that, there's been a level of disappointment and discouragement that has been brought about because of this situation that we find ourselves in. Discouragement, man, is really something. Because basically what it's saying is that we have an expectation in our life that something should be happening. And whatever, however, this thing that's happening is not really aligning up with, or the thing that should be happening isn't lining up with what's actually happened. There's no way that I'm supposed to be in this position that I'm in right now. There's no way that I'm supposed to be stuck and cooped up in my home. I had big plans, but yet somehow things are not manifesting the way that I thought they would. And that brings about a level of discouragement. But see, this is why it's so important not to be too high in our emotions and certainly not to be too low. I believe that these are situations that God will allow to take place in our lives that can bring about growth and development in our own lives. And therefore, I truly believe that it's important to talk to people. I think that if there was ever a time, now was the time for us to really embrace the idea of just communicating with people and talking to people. I imagine individuals only if they had someone to talk to. When I go, I want to go back to the military. I remember a time when I was sitting on the back of the boat and I was standing what's called lookout, and I was just kind of looking out for some things. And all of a sudden, I just saw a guy just come and run. I mean, he got a running start. He ran and jumped completely off the ship. My responsibility at that time was to, one, throw him a life raft over, and then, two, yell out to the entire ship, man overboard. And then I had to be relieved from my position because it was my responsibility to help get this guy saved. And so I was a part of a team in which we had to put a search and rescue swimmer in a small boat, deploy that boat from the large ship that we were on to try to get him saved. All I'm saying is that I wonder if this individual had someone to talk to, would he have been able to make that decision that he made to decide to jump off the ship? Whatever he was dealing with was so bad that it caused him to jump out. And I just wonder if he had someone to talk to, would that have changed everything? I wonder these parents right now who are being charged with physically abusing their children because their children are at home and they're are being overwhelmed and they're being frustrated. And now these parents, in one case I read where a parent actually kill the child. You know, I just wonder perhaps what would it look like if they had someone to talk to. If you've been doing any kind of studying or any type of research, you can see that our society right now, there's been such an influx in suicides because of what people are experiencing. There's been such an uptick of domestic violence that exists. I'm just wondering, would any of that have been different if they felt that they had someone to talk to? I truly believe that God wants us to help and talk to others because I've said this before and I'll continually say it. I do not believe, or I'll say it this way. I believe that God wants us to go on this journey, and this journey is not meant to travel alone. God wants us to help and to talk to others because this journey is not meant to travel alone. Think about this. What if Timothy didn't have a Paul? You know, Paul wrote letters to Timothy and he advised Timothy, hey, I need you to expect some things. There's going to be some things that you're getting ready to step into this role, and there are going to be some things that are going to happen. And so you need to understand that these things will be very disappointing. In fact, they're going to be very discouraging. And these things are all going to take place in the future. See, I love the fact that Paul was in a position to share those things with Timothy, because although he was highlighting the things that Timothy needed to understand that was going to bring forth the disappointment and the discouragement, Paul's letter was designed to encourage him. And so I think about Scripture. Remember when the Scripture tells us, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one mind. See, the fact that we are in accord with one mind, I'm in a position now because we are in Christ. I can now encourage you, and I'm encouraging you with this love, and we're participating with the Spirit, with all affection and sympathy. Guess what? When you hurt, I hurt. I can complete this joy. Why? Because we are in the same mind, and we are the same love, being on the same accord. This is what the Bible is telling us. And see, the great thing about this situation is that when you go on to read that those passages of Scripture, you'll see that the Bible tells us to do nothing in selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. In other words, man, I'm here to help you, and I don't have to get on Facebook. I don't have to get on any type of social media platform. I don't have to bring it forth to the church. Anything that God has equipped me to do for you, I'm going to do it. I don't have to go and let my left hand know what my right hand is doing, but the one thing I'm going to do is consider somebody else more significant than myself. Why? Because that's what humility is all about. The Bible tells us to not let your own interests, matter of fact, it says, let each one of you look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of other people. I know I have issues going on. I know that I'm hurting right now. See, I can tell you right now, it's all good. I'm just chilling because I want to make sure that I'm in a position to help you, because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about how God can use us to help one another. And where's this encouragement coming from? It's in Christ. Did you see the part where in the Bible it tells us, man, if there's any comfort from love? See, I love this comfort. I love comfort. And in fact, I believe that there is ever a time that people felt the need for comfort. I think now is it. Now is certainly the time. I was teasing one of my daughters, and we were just kind of talking about the different cartoons and what was good and what wasn't good, and you know, what was the cartoons of her day and my day, and so on and so forth. And we were looking at a folder because we had these cartoons lined up in digital folders, and so one of the folders we ran across was Charlie Brown. And I just, you know, was just really thinking about Charlie Brown. In fact, I started thinking about Linus, and I started thinking about, you know, how he used to always carry that blanket around, you know, and he took that blanket everywhere with him. In fact, I don't ever recall seeing him without, you know, that blanket. And I think about comfort. I think about what the comforter does for us. I think about the times when I feel sick, or the times where I feel upset, or the times where I get distressed, or, you know, when when my wife isn't here to talk to, or, you know, when I just flat out get lonely, when I'm up all hours of the night with nobody to call, you know, I think about the comforter. I think about this comforter, and I think about God knowing that we needed a comforter. I think about how Jesus, in fact, said, hey, he asked his Father, and the Father sent us the Holy Spirit to comfort us. So I thank God for a comforter. I thank God that Jesus is my comforter. I thank God that the Holy Spirit is my comforter. One thing is for certain, and one thing you'll know, hey, you might get too old for your blanket, but you'll never be too old to receive and the benefit from the comfort that only God can give. So I want to look at Scripture today. I want to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to read a few verses. Again, this passage of Scripture may be familiar to a lot of people, but I certainly think it's pertinent and relevant at a time such as this. For those who have your Bibles, again, I like to read from chapter 1, and I'll pick up here at verse 3, and we'll read to verses 11. The Bible tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. The Bible goes on to say in verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted through the prayers of many. Today, I just want to speak with a simple thought, and this thought is designed, or at least my hope, it is my prayer that this can bring some level of comfort to you. In fact, the title of this sermon is that we all need comfort. We all need comfort. So here it is, I'm thinking about Paul, and I'm thinking about the letters, you know, that he had wrote to the church in response to many of the issues that exist. If you read not only 2 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians, both letters written to the church of Corinth, you will see that there is a lot of issues, you know, some of which Paul had to deal with and discovered that there was a church who was basically failing to live out the message, that is the gospel, of course. If that wasn't enough, then he discovered that their false teachers were there corrupting all of the pure doctrines of Christ. And there are so many other issues and things that exist, but the one thing that really stand out for me is the theme of comfort. And it wasn't just a theme for comfort, it was the comfort that comes in the midst of affliction. And likewise, I really like the fact that the scripture is teaching us how to have strength in the midst of weakness. Now, just some of the other things that Paul was dealing with, people were saying that, hey, here's a guy, he's dishonest. And in fact, they went as far as to even challenge his authority as an apostle. I'm talking about Paul, one who had to deal with all these burdens, both emotional, mental, even physical. Now, Paul was so concerned not only with himself, but with the with others, that he began to wonder about the fate, you know, of the church. So now Paul is in a situation where he's calling the saints. He's saying, hey, I need you to remain true and faithful to the eternal covenants that you have made with God. And I need you to do that in spite of the circumstances or the consequences that may come with your faithfulness. Last but not least, I believe that when we look at Paul's life, when you look at his life, Paul is certainly showing us the meaning of how to face these hardships as followers of Jesus Christ. How to face hardships as the followers of Jesus Christ. So the only two points that I really want to focus on today is God giving us comfort, but then God also giving us strength. Now, I want to just take a look for a moment at God's comfort. The first thing I noticed is that Paul acknowledged and described God. You know, I noticed how he described God and how he acknowledges him despite having these issues that he's dealing with. When you go back to verse 3, if you read it, it says, what? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies, and the God of who? All comfort. See, I know even though Paul was discouraged, he never neglected to thank God. Even though he was dealing with things that he had to deal with, he'd never put God on the back burner. He always thank God. In fact, when you read most of Paul's writings, he always begin his letters with some type of exhortation to the people with an acknowledgement and him thanking God. See, I want to be like Paul, where I can understand the importance of not exalting my problem, but to also give praise unto God. See, I want to be at a place where when you ask me what's going on, I don't want to hide behind a facade of, hey, I got it all, it's all good, or I'm just chilling. I want to say, thanks be unto God, in spite of what I may have going on, without always see, I don't want you to stop calling me because every time you call me, it's always a woe's me type of situation. See, I want to be like Paul. See, Paul was able to do what he was able to do because he knew that God ultimately was in control of all things. And Paul certainly knew where his help was coming from. Now, I'm not trying to exalt Paul because he was a man just like the rest of us. But Paul certainly knew the secret to his victory. I go back and I think about, we just have to be in a position to trust God and focus on God. Remember over in 2 Chronicles, what did it say? He said, look, we are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. We have no power. We do not know what to do. But guess what? Our eyes are always on you. Our eyes are always on you. And that's the place that we need to be in. A place where no matter what we have going on, we can begin to always acknowledge God and just focus on him. Man, when I read Paul's letter, it's just so encouraging. As a matter of fact, it's encouraging on so many levels. You know, I have a question for you. How many times have you been encouraged by God? How many times have you been encouraged by his word? How many times have you been encouraged, even if it wasn't directly from the voice of God that you heard, or the audible voice of God, or you picking up your scripture and read it, that I'll say it this way. Sometimes God will send a Barnabas in your life, then encourage her. And then guess what? Sometimes God will allow you to be a Barnabas in somebody else's life. This is the God that we serve. Someone once shared with me, said, hey, when you find yourself discouraged and you're ready to give up, we should just die to ourselves. But as we're dying to ourselves, we need to make sure that we're putting our focus on God. And once we do that, now we position ourselves to begin to help other people. Paul is telling us, look, you can find encouragement. You can find encouragement in God, even when you find yourselves in difficult places. Paul is reminding us, he said, look, you can do this because if you remember who he is and what he's done for you and what he's going to do through you, you are now better equipped to help other people who may be hurting. So I think about the core of the gospel. The core of the gospel is the truth that those that belong to Christ have been united with Christ. The Bible tells us, for we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, what shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this? We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would be no longer enslaved to sin. This is justification. This is, see, I love the fact that we are now justified. Again, the core of this gospel is that, look, those of us that belong to Christ, we've been united with him. And I speak about this us being united because of the power that is associated with what he did. And I'm talking about the resurrection. But I want us to also understand that being united with Christ also means that we share in his sufferings. Now, the one thing we need to really understand is that there is a difference between just suffering. You know, some people, see, we need to know that we suffer for righteousness' sake. You're not suffering because you sinned and you've done wrong and therefore you're suffering. No. See, when I realize that I'm sharing in Christ's sufferings, that gives me hope. Because it gives me hope that because I'm sharing in his suffering, when this world is over, guess what? It's not the end for me. See, for all those people who do not share in Christ's suffering, they won't have the same type of hope that I have, the same type of hope that those who are united in him would have. Why? Because when this is over, their hope, see, their life is going to end. And now we're talking about a separation from God, and not just any kind of separation, an eternal separation, you know, from God. This is why I really appreciate being united with him. I can share in his sufferings because I know that there's eternal life that's ahead waiting. And I'm simply not going to spend the rest of my life, you know, eternally. I'm going to exist eternally because it'll never run out. This is good stuff to me. I want us to understand that suffering is not a sign that somehow God just abandoned us. Oftentimes, see, we're not even teaching people anymore that you have to suffer. Nobody's signing up. You go to churches today and nobody's preaching suffering. God don't want you to suffer. Says what? Says who? I believe that our suffering will suggest that we belong to Christ. That's why we're persecuted. That's why we endure what we do, because we belong to him. If we can't endure the things that we're dealing with now, what's going to happen when God is closer to coming back? That's why it's so important for us to get our houses in order right now. That's why it's so important to understand that this isn't a game. God hadn't left us. And don't think for one moment that because you're dealing with some type of hardship or that we have this virus that is among us, that somehow God has left us and that he's abandoned us. If nothing else, take an opportunity to use this time to build up the endurance that is necessary to undergo suffering. And it'll also change your mindset. See, this is the same type of silence that the Corinthians would receive. Paul was letting him know, hey, look here. Look at your trials. Look at what you're dealing with. Look at these hardships. But don't just look at them. Use them as opportunities to gain some valuable insight. And I believe the same thing applies to us. Right now, we should be asking God, hey, Lord, I want you to make it plain. What is it that you want from me in this particular season? I need you to speak to me, Lord. I want to know what's going on. See, this is an opportunity for us to say, you know what? I done watched all the movies on Netflix. I done watched all the stuff. I done ran out of things. So now I need to pick up my word and really speak to you. I want to hear what you would have to say. Here's an opportunity for us to do that. I also believe that when God consoles us, it will attract people who may have felt pain that was very, very similar to ours. Somehow God can use the very thing that you've gone through to attract somebody else who's been through something very similar. The one thing I want us to be careful with is to always remember that it's not about us and it's always about them. I can't stand, man, you know, you've ever been in a position. This is why sometimes people don't even talk to others, because when you try to reach out and talk to someone and you're trying to pour out your heart and you're trying to tell them what's going on, somehow they flip the script and they make the very essence of the phone call, which was about them or about you, now all of a sudden about them. And then you get to the end of the conversation forgetting what it is that you had even asked them. Why? Because it's all about them and they didn't make this thing about you. We just need to be careful not to do that. I even look at it from a counseling standpoint. We need to be very careful not to try to minimize a person's pain. You can't be judgmental or critical about what somebody is going through. I believe that when you minimize a person's pain, it's only going to compound the hurt even worse. I call and tell somebody, man, I just lost, let me give you an example. You know, how am I supposed to respond if I tell somebody, hey, you know, I got three daughters and I just lost one of them? And, you know, is your response to me going to be, well, at least you still got the other two? How did that help anything? What was the encouragement in that? This is why we had to equip ourselves, understanding what it is that God wants for us and understanding that he will comfort us. He will give us the words to speak. He gives us the wisdom to know how to handle things. As I mentioned before, I don't believe that God is only trying to comfort us. I believe that God will also give us strength. Think about Paul and think about how burdened he was. Heavily burdened. But one thing that you'll find and you'll discover when you read is that Paul believes that God allowed this situation to occur so that his people would not depend or put their own confidence in themselves or even other people. And this is what happens. A lot of times, you know, you either, if you're not putting the emphasis on yourself, you're looking for someone to help you. You're looking for relief, but you're just looking, it's like you're looking for love, but in all the wrong places. You all heard what I said that Kenneth Copeland did. You know, he's blowing in the air and making people touch screens and all that kind of stuff. These are the false teachers that Paul was speaking about. Then you got this other guy over in Norway or someplace, you know, and he's telling everybody, hey, look, the kids, you are going to be protected. All you have to do is donate 2,020 krones, you know, which is basically the equivalent of $175. If you donate that to the church, I can assure you that you will be protected. See, it's this kind of stuff right now that should bother you. This is the kind of stuff that gives me grief. This is the kind of stuff where I know Paul was speaking to, how did we go this far away from the doctrine to this? How do we get to this point? And see, this is what happens when people begin to put their trust in these men as opposed to trusting in God. God is the only one that can preserve our lives. Not this false foolishness that is being spoken by a lot of these so-called men of God. Paul wants us to know that suffering is typically beyond the limits of our natural strength. Think about it. You know, Paul, this is Paul, everybody. The same Paul that was beaten. The same Paul that was persecuted. The same Paul that was essentially thrown in jail. Not because he had done something wrong, but because of his faith. And everybody always talking about, well, God ain't going to give you more than you can bear. Let me help correct that. God will give you more than you can bear. If you ask Job if God will give you more than you can bear, God did everything short of taking his life. And I just told you what Paul had to endure. If you still don't believe me, what about when Christ was on his way, you know, to the cross and he asked the Lord to take this thing away from me? And the Lord said no. And we're reminded in Scripture, one of our favorite verses in Scripture, even when Paul, you know, Lord, I would do everything I need to do. I can do all things and, you know, just take this thorn away from me, Lord, and I can assure you that I can do it. And God said what? You're exactly right. My grace is sufficient for thee. What am I telling you? God will give you more than you can bear or more than you can handle. Why? He's doing that because he wants to put you in a position where you realize you can't handle this stuff on your own. God is putting us in positions where we have no other choice but to trust in him. And we don't just acquiesce to trusting in God. No, we go wholeheartedly, Lord, I trust in you. I believe you. If I'm dealing with this right now, it's because you are allowing this to happen. So somehow, some way, Lord, I need comfort so I can endure these hardships that you are allowing me to experience. You may not take it away from me, Lord, but at least give me the grace so I can continue to move forward. As we conclude, I believe that God, he knows. He knows that all of us, at some point, whether our own admission or not, will experience some type of setback in life. There's going to always be some type of suffering, some type of discouragement. And that's what God does. He knows that. He knows it. God wants us to know that, look, there are going to be times when you're going to suffer. But I need you to be able to know that you can be sustained through the strength that I give you. I'm going to give you what you need to endure this hardship. And because of that, that should encourage you. Don't think that when you're going through something, I have to remove you from that situation or remove that situation. I can give you strength in the midst of your circumstances. I can give you strength in the midst of your troubles. I can strengthen you in the midst of this virus. It doesn't matter if we go back to work tomorrow or we go back next year. I'm going to give you strength. All you got to do is have faith and believe. See, it was Paul's faith that brought about God's deliverance. And it was the faith of the people that brought about the deliverance. As I just said, he don't have to deliver us from our trials. Why? Because we serve the kind of God that can deliver us right in the midst of our trial and situation. God is using this opportunity to shape us and to comfort us and to comfort his people. Why? Because his people are going to experience things just like we're experiencing. And who better us to help them than the ones that God had already allowed to go through that situation? I'm encouraged by the word today because God is letting me know that, man, if I just believe in him, if I just believe in him, then he'll give me the strength that I need. And the strength isn't predicated on circumstance. This strength is based on anything that I am dealing with. Lord, I just want to thank you today. I want to thank you for the scripture that teaches us to look to you when I was in trouble. Right now, Lord, we find ourselves in trouble. And so right now, we just want to look to you, oh God. We may have complained in our circumstance. We may have not had the right mindset. Our perspectives may be all over the place. But one thing we know is that you are sovereign. You are holy. You are worthy to be praised. And so we're asking, Lord, that you help us. If it is not your will to remove the calamities or to remove the situation that exists, oh God, or to remove the hardships, oh God, we're asking for grace that we can endure these issues, oh God, while you're still working things out. We're asking right now, oh God, that whatever it was to call those people that I've mentioned earlier to a place of despair and cause them to make decisions that were certainly detrimental to not only their lives, but to their loved ones. We're asking right now that you equipped us, oh Heavenly Father, with the love and the wisdom and all that is needed for times such as this. This is a different situation, oh God, and I don't think many of us can say that we've seen this before. But as we mentioned, you are righteous and you know all things. And we thank you, Lord. Now may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, people, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask that all that believe say, Amen. And you know what? There's nothing that'll come tomorrow or the next day to throw you out of course. I'm gonna stick with Jesus. He's all I got, huh? Come on, y'all. Thank you.